Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Thank you for those messages coming in, which I'll get to in just a couple of minutes' time, but just to move on for the moment. The Peter McVerry Trust, which operates homeless addiction and social housing services in County Kildare, is appealing to Kildare people to support its annual Opening Doors fundraising appeal. Also, to profile its work in the, to hear about that, and to profile its work done in County Kildare over the last 2 years and its plans for the next 12 months. We're joined by Director of Services with Responsibility for Housing Development and Communications with the Peter McVerry Trust, Francis Doherty. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, Clare.
Thank you for joining us. Now, in terms of this, we'll talk about the appeal in a couple of minutes' time, but let's talk about what developments have happened in regards to the Peter McVerry Trust and facilities in Kildare over the last 12 months.
Yes. Well, look, I suppose what we've been trying to do in Kildare in partnership with the local authority is to make sure we have, firstly, adequate emergency accommodation for people that are presenting as homeless. So, obviously, we provide emergency accommodation for single adults who make up the majority of people in homelessness, and we also provide homeless accommodation for families in Kildare, in Prosperous and Athy. So what we're, I suppose, over the last 12 months, we've been we've added a bit to the capacity of the services we have for emergency accommodation. We've also tried to increase our spending in areas such as education and employment pathways. So one project that is, I suppose, nearly ready to start is a sort of employment and training centre at our service in Cardiffstown, where we're going to be offering pathways for people to train for the hospitality sector, train for people to have a delivery job, and then hopefully, by providing those pathways, the training, the supports for their costs and any qualifications they need, and then support to find a job once they've finished their training. So we've been focusing on that. We've also been looking at ways we can improve supports to young people that have come out of care. So we would have increased the number of apartments we're making available in partnership with the local authority and with TUSLA for young people that have grown up in state care, are now 18 or 19, are at serious risk of entering homelessness if there's not a housing intervention for them with wraparound support. So what we've been doing is to try build the number of apartments we've been able to secure across Kildare in areas where TUSLA have said they have young people that are at serious risk. So real challenge is obviously trying to secure housing in Kildare, given the market and the way property prices have risen over the last 12 months. But we're chipping away. And one area that we're doing is, I suppose, trying to reuse a lot of those vacant buildings. So, past Doyle, our CEO, would have spoken to you before about projects in Athy, where we're taking back five derelict properties on one single street and we're bringing them back into use for homeless families. We're doing a few other projects. We have a small project in Naas that we're hoping to start early next year, which will be three one-bedroom apartments in a vacant building. And then similarly, we're just trying to chip away small numbers. Either we can pick up apartments to buy, we can turn empty buildings into social housing, or we can, look to build our own social housing. And hopefully next year we'll see a lot of movement from the Trust in terms of small social housing schemes in areas of need, where we would actually go ahead and just build the housing ourselves with support from the council and the Department of Housing.
That's all very impressive, Francis, as you outlined there and as Pat has outlined us previously, and indeed Peter McVerry when he's spoken to us on the programme as well. The core issue being, of course, that many people who are homeless, particularly those who are vulnerable in scenarios that you've described, it's core to their recovery, to their rehabilitation, to their, if you like, dealing with life, that they have a base, a place to live. And that is the biggest challenge of all. Because am I overstating it if I say that no matter how much of rehab support you give to somebody, if they're out wandering the roads, the odds are stacked against them?
Yeah, like it's, I think the old model time used to be, you were told to, you should be, deal with all your issues while you're in emergency accommodation, and then you'll be eligible for housing, which never really worked out for people, because how could you deal with it when you're in such an unstable environment? You were never sure where you were going to be or how long you were going to be there. So one of the programs that we're operating in Kildare is Housing First. So that's really taking people that are long-term service users, so maybe have been in homeless services for 8 or 9 years, or people that are sleeping rough in Naas or Newbridge or on the canal. And what we're doing is actually bringing them straight from a place where they're sleeping rough or the hostel that they've been in for years and moving them into an apartment. And once they get into the apartment, we bring all the supports to them. So if it's addiction, if it's mental health, you know, if it's just their general health that needs improving, we're bringing all the supports to them. And then they have a much better success rate, they have a much better recovery rate. And once they're, you know, based there, their life stabilizes, they're able to, you know, access programs easier, they're actually able to plan and look forward once they do get settled down. So a big part of that is deal with the issues that they may have. The next step is then, what are we going to do in terms of community integration, employment, training, if they can go that route.
Some and you're covering that angle as well, which is, it sounds very comprehensive indeed. I see where Dr. Rory Harden, Maynooth University lecturer, who's been very, very active and eloquent on the whole area of homelessness and the solutions we should bring to it recently, is talking about what he calls the huge missed opportunity in this country regarding home solving the home crisis. He's talking about tens of thousands of vacant homes around the country. You're dipping into that area, trying to bring buildings back into use.
Yeah, well, we have been for a while, Clem. Back in 2016, the CSO, when they did the census, came up with a figure of 183,000 vacant homes when you exclude holiday homes. But that figure excludes empty commercial buildings, that, you know, it excludes properties that are derelict. So the census was only dealing with ones that they actually thought you could actually live in. So there's a huge untapped resource there. But I suppose it has improved over the years, and it is going to improve under Housing for All, we hope. So one of the things that the Trust would have advocated for was schemes like Repair and Lease, where if you're, you know, a lot of the people that we work with under the Repair and Lease, it's somebody that, you know, maybe an uncle or an aunt or a parent has passed away, they've been left the old family home, it hasn't, you know, been upgraded in 30 or 40 years, and the family don't want to be a landlord, they don't, but they have a sentimental attachment to that house. Don't want to sell it, but it's lying empty. So they often come to us under the repair and lease scheme and say, look, we want to do something with the house. We'd love to help the housing crisis, the homeless crisis, and they make it available to us. And they, you know, we lease it for, you know, up to 25 years. It's stability, it's another social housing, and it's one less vacant property. So we're trying to chip away house by house, apartment by apartment under those schemes. We're also trying to buy you know, buildings that might have been commercial buildings but could be easily converted into apartments in town centres. But I think, yeah, the empty home space is somewhere where, you know, it makes sense in so many grounds, Clem, because if you think of climate change and the housing crisis, there, you know, we're trying to build tens of thousands of new homes, but that has a climate impact. But we have all these empty buildings that are, the structures are already there.
But it also, the building new homes, you're into a protracted and complex planning process. It takes time and years and years and years to try and catch up with new homes, while already it's been clearly, the statistics prove it, you've just outlined some of them there from the census, that there are tens of thousands of vacant properties lying around this country that could be lying vacant, unused, derelict in many cases, which could be brought into use in a relatively short course of time to at least contribute to alleviating this problem. Now, all of that, of course, given the price of housing and accommodation, whether it be rent or otherwise, it figures up to €2,000 a month in the Greater Dublin Commuter Belt, including Kildare, costs an awful lot of money. What kind of budgets are you dealing on? And you're launching what's called your opening doors appeal. Is your target for the whole country? I imagine it's not. Is it just for Kildare, €300,000?
No, so I suppose what we're trying to do just over 1 week is to raise the €300,000, Clem, and that's just the national figure. So one of the challenges is with COVID, obviously it's been difficult to plan with any certainty around fundraising events. So we've lost you know, 9 months a year where we haven't been able to do the normal thing. And traditionally for the opening doors week, which coincides with World Homeless Day this Sunday, the 10th of October, we would organise events for schools, we would do community events, we would have events where people can, you know, sign up to do an activity, walks, runs, that type of thing. But because of COVID, we're very much, I suppose, we've had to issue an appeal for people to support us in any way they can, because we haven't been able to organise those traditional sets of events. So, and like, really what the Opening Doors Week helps do for us is that it raises vital funds as we head into the busiest time of year for us, into winter. So one of the challenges is that obviously the Trust receives a lot of money from the councils and the state, which were, you know, and that's for providing services under contracts for different areas such as homeless or kids in care. But for us as an organisation, we want to go above and beyond. We want to be absolutely ready for any emergency that might arise. So, you know, if it's an extreme weather event where there's, you know, a number of years ago, we would have talked to you about the Beast from the East and Storm Emma and things like that. We need the resources available to us to be able to do everything we possibly can for people in need. And Opening Doors is a way of raising that money in the run-up to our busiest time of year.
Absolutely important. Anyone wishing to support then the Peter McVerry Trust Charity Appeal, you can donate on the charity's website, which is pmvtrust.ie, okay? pmvtrust.ie, or you can call the Dublin number, which is 8230776. That's 01-823-0776. Or alternatively, the Peter McVerry Trust is encouraging people to set up your own fundraisers to help raise money to tackle homelessness across County Kildare. We've just heard the amount of money and effort that's been expended here in County Kildare, so it's only right that we in the county try and give something back in regards to that support again. So you can donate on the website pmvtrust.ie, or you can call 01-823-0776, or set up your own fundraiser for the Peter McVerry Trust as part of their Opening Doors Appeal, looking to raise €300,000 nationwide and doing all that very, very important work day after day, year after year, to try and get those less fortunate into accommodation and improve the quality of their lives. Frances Doherty, Director of Services with the organisation, thanks for joining us this morning, Frances.
Thank you, Clem. Appreciate it.
And indeed, good luck with that appeal at the weekend as well. Now, earlier we spoke about, well, just during that chat with Frances, we spoke about the mental health issues around homelessness and that. And earlier during our newspaper review, we also spoke about the mental health issues impacting people from the pandemic, in particular school children and people generally throughout the population as well. We're happy to support improving and enhancing awareness of mental health throughout the month of October. And remember, it's perfectly okay to feel anxious. We all need to adjust in our own time. And there is a free phone number, 24 hours a day. It's your mental health information line. It's on 1-800-111-888. That's a free phone number, 1-800-111-888.
The Mental Health Minute from KFM and the HSE.
Hey, hi, what's the story? Go on, go away. Okay, no way. Shut the front door. People in Ireland love to talk, except when we really need to talk, like when it's about our mental health. But when you feel most alone, there are lots of ways to find support, because when you start to reach out, you can start to feel better. You could start by talking to someone like your GP. They'll start to talk about all the different supports out there, like counselling or cognitive behavioural therapy, which could be available online. Other online supports include things like reading an article to understand how you're feeling, trying a trusted online stress control programme, or using a mobile mental health app. Whatever you're going through, you can always find trusted information on a range of mental health supports and services at yourmentalhealth.ie or through the 24-hour Your Mental Health information line on 1-800-111-888. Just start talking. It always helps. Okay? Bye. Bye, Mrs. Dyle.
Go on. Now, in regards to Owen Beattie, can you help me here? Because I have a listener saying that when they speak to their Alexa, Alexa, give me KFM radio and tune in, they're saying to get a different station. I have told people before that there are KFM radio stations in other places around the world. A couple of them in Africa, a couple of them in the United States, and I'm sure there's one or two in Europe as well. What you have to say, as I understand it, would be tell Alexa to turn on KFM Radio Kildare Ireland or Kildare's KFM. Owen, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the best thing to do. And as we know, we can get KFM as well on the website. So you can play from Listen Live on KFMradio.com. You can get it on TuneIn. I believe you can get it on the radio player as well.
Of course.
And
the radio player is probably the most common one that people get that stream. Let's reprise that again. People who have smart speakers,
yeah,
you can ask to listen to Kildare's KFM on the website KFMradio.com. And that will give you... Paul Power spoke about a skill, an Alexa, but that people with Alexa speakers will understand that. It's on our website, kfmradio.com. You can use the radio player stream, saying, asking the radio player to play Kildare's KFM radio. Now, that's the Irish radio player.
Mm.
And then you can ask TuneIn Radio to play Kildare's KFM Ireland. And that should get you to the correct station. Let us know how you get on. Are we with that, Owen?
Yeah, that's absolutely. But if it's not working for you on the TuneIn, there's other avenues that you can go down to get it to work. So, yeah, try the website or radio player or TuneIn. Try different avenues.
Don't mind those two others, Clem, getting on to you, Kira and Owen. I bet they couldn't hook a worm or light a fire outdoors. Now, well, I think our old Oni might be able to hook a worm.
That sounds like Mickey Mack from Salins, but I'm not sure if it is. I could be wrong.
Right, okay.
But yeah, no, I can light a fire and hook a worm, no problem at all.
Right, text messages, once upon a time, you were charged for text messages. You might have had a package in which you had so many included in your package, yeah. But most, nearly all phones now have free text messages and whatever else. And but most people are using WhatsApp. You're right, Clem, it's the same with my phone, and my fingers are not big, I can assure you, it's brutal. There you go now, Owen. You were casting aspersions on my thumbs a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, you should see the messages, though, that I get sent. It's ridiculous. You need about four people to try and work it out, what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. Shannon has been on to tell us that Tom Scullyocht Diacker School is a tough time. So, sure, I had my issues in school myself, but that's because I might have been acting the fool at the back of the class or whatever else. Councillor Aidan Farrelly's on, saying, as a youth worker, I've spent time with many young people who've had real struggles with going to school pre and post-COVID. The reasons for this are wide-ranging and very important, and we shouldn't assume anyone is using it as an opportunity to just stay at home. It influences all aspects of one's life, and what we need is adequate and timely mental health services for children and young people. Okay, we have a couple of more messages coming. I'll get to those in a moment. But up next, we're going to be speaking to a Kildare mother.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Another listener says, in regards to kids and having a school phobia, it says, my 14-year-old is finding it so hard to get back into school routine, feeling sick every morning with pains. It's heartbreaking to watch this every morning. Yet, when he gets there, he enjoys it. Hard for parents to see their kids anxious and upset. Indeed, it is. I remember a particular case where the kid just got into absolutely complete terror and hysterics. I mean, it was the most difficult thing to understand, but there wasn't a shadow of a doubt in my mind that the kid was absolutely and totally and completely horrified. You just nearly have to be wrestled in, and there was no way. Morning after morning would turn away from the building and go away. So certainly it is a real issue, and I would not have wanted to convey for a moment that it isn't, but I was just making a point in terms of the other side of the debate, because there can be opportunists around in regards to that. Ashling McNiff, good morning to you.
Morning, Clem.
How did the surgery go, Ashling? How are you?
I'm okay. I'll be 4 weeks post-surgery tomorrow. So I hope it's okay.
Well, I'm not surprised, given that for... what age is Jack now?
16,
and you've carried him around in your arms on your back most of your life. How's he doing at the minute?
He's okay. He was home for a few days, but he's in Norlin at the moment. I'm catching him tomorrow. He just went in again yesterday, just for two nights, just for the end of my recovery, because he was there for a couple of weeks at the beginning, and then he was there for five nights. So he's kind of been home and back and home and back. A bit confusing for him, to be honest.
Yeah, Jack is non-verbal, I believe. How has he adapted to being away from you?
He's a bit down in the dumps when he goes back. So, but I mean, look, they're fantastic there, and they try to do as much as they can with him, but sometimes his mood is just a little bit low, which it normally wouldn't be when he just goes for a couple of days. So I think the problem is he doesn't know how long he's going for.
Yeah, he's 17 now, I think, isn't he?
No, he's 16. 16 at the end of
July. Big boy. And certainly you're not in a position to be undergoing what you've done all his life. You're an amazing person, I'll tell you that much. Now, we've had you recently, and it's this issue whereby you require to convert a room in your house into a specialised bathroom for Jack.
Yes.
And Kildare County Council, you applied for a housing adaptation grant. You're getting 7,500, but your estimate is that Kildare County Council's view, that should cover 95% of the cost. Your view, it won't even cover half the cost.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I hadn't even got quotes in when I applied, because you don't have to. So I actually, you know, when you apply for your bathroom grant or whatever grant you're going for, there's no quotes required. And I probably was a bit naive and put a guesstimate of 15,000 on. But they're supposed to cover 95% of the cost, and they offered 7,500. But since I have learned that even the equipment alone will cost over 10,000.
What kind of equipment, Ashton?
Well, it's a high-low bath is what I need, and a high-low sink. And that's basically for my back and for Jack. And the high-low bath would allow me to bathe him with me keeping my back straight. And the high-low sink would allow me to have the sink up to my height when I need it. And Jack is very small. He's like the size of a six-year-old. So it can lower down then for him to put his hands in or soak his hands. So, and for my nurses as well, if they're here, it'll be up at their height. So
And of course you need the structural adaptation of the house.
I need the door put in from his bedroom to that room.
Yeah.
And then we need to extend the existing hoist, and we need to put flooring down and cover the walls and stuff. So there's a few bits, but we eliminated the need for a shower in the corner, because when I was getting my quotes, I realised I can get a bath with a stretcher over it that you can pull down, and you can have a shower, a long shower hose, so that you can use it as a shower or a bath. So it eliminates the need for a shower. So actually, I'm saving money in that way, and we're not putting a toilet in, because the toilet isn't necessary for Jack. So we won't have that to worry about plumbing
wise. Okay, so since the last time you were with us, and you outlined that the surveyor had come along and said, look, this will do it, and this is the way to go, and this, that, and the other, and you were very dissatisfied with that, and we put word out there, and we asked Kildare County Council for a statement at the time, and the kind of statement we got back didn't tell us anything. We've been on to them again. Owen, what did they say this time?
Yeah, so essentially I just put the question to them. I said that Aisling was coming on the programme this morning, that she's trying to build an accessible bathroom for Jack. However, she says the funding received from the grant, Kildare County Council, doesn't cover half the cost. I asked them to provide a statement on Aisling's case, or a spokesperson to come on the programme. Now, they didn't comment on that. I also then put the question and said, specifically, without commenting on an individual case in general, could you please outline how Kildare County Council assesses the cost for adaptation grant applications? For example, how does Kildare County Council adjudicate that X amount will cover a certain project? The response I got back was that there are three grants available under the National Application Form for Housing Adaptation Grant for older people and people with a disability to help make their home safer and easier to get around. This form is on our website, and they attached a link. The application form outlines the purpose of each grant, eligibility criteria, and the amount for which a household can apply. I opened up the application. It's a 22-page document that's been sent through to me. So to go down through how, in terms that they adjudicate the amount that's given, it seems to be more on a household income that they give that percentage of the cost. So 95%, the maximum grant that they say there is 8,000. And as Aisling is outlining, I believe she's getting 7,500.
Now, we made the point in the past when Aisling was on with us. We understand that there's only so much money in the pot to go around. But at the end of the day, there's no point in allocating an amount of money to somebody who needs much more than that, who hasn't access to those extra funds, because it'll be just pointless, because the job can't be carried out. Councillor Angela Feeney, good morning to you.
Morning, Clem. Morning, Aisling.
I understand, Aisling, Angela, you have taken up Aisling's case from time to time.
I have. Clem, you know, for parents like Aisling who have to go to lengths for the most basic of services for their children, like, it's so wrong. In fact, only on Monday as well, I was visiting a traveller family in the county, and two of their seven children have disabilities, and they physically have to lift those lads in and out of the bath. So it's just dreadful. We should provide what they need and stop making it so difficult, because life is already so unfair and so hard. So I've been appointed to the access group here in Maynooth, and I'm obviously going to progress as many of these issues as I can. But look, it's down to money, Clem. As Owen had mentioned, there is a sliding scale there for the grants based on your income. But as my colleague, Senator Mark Wall, spoke in the Shannon this week, and he requested an urgent debate with the Minister, because it's really not fit for purpose. You know, when we've had increased cost for building and so on, and really just it just isn't adequate. And to ask people to actually come up with the difference is just not fair.
Aisling, here's a blunt question for you. Are you in any position to come up with the difference?
No. Like this year alone, you know, we were gifted hoists from another family who had sadly lost their son. And my parents paid for them to be installed, which was €2,000. My parents are really, really good to me, and they help me as much as they can. They're both retired now and parents to four people, you know.
Yeah.
I'm on carer's allowance. I'm a lone parent carer. I'm also trying to improve my house as well myself, because, you know, they turned down a grant 2 years ago. We've no rear access. And I appealed that with the help of Frank O'Rourke at the time, and it was turned down as not being essential. And they said if I wanted to reapply for a rear ramp again, that I could go through the whole motion again, and I had no energy to do it. So that had taken me about a year to do the whole, get the quotes in, get the first application in, and get the appeal in. So I forgot that. So I'm actually putting a back ramp in myself at the moment, so I'm paying for that. So, you know, I absolutely do not have, and I think it's going to be more in the region of 20,000. So, like, you know, I just don't have it. And the actual point that I really want to make here is that I won't be able to give Jack a bath until we get his new bathroom or a shower, because my existing bathroom does not have a hoist, and I have to lift him from his wheelchair onto his bath seat. It's a really narrow bathroom, so I have to stand in front of the chair, pull it in, and lift him across. That's what I've been doing. But at the moment, and since I hurt my back, I haven't even been doing that much. I used to get a bath once a month. In the meantime, it's kind of top and tail, and when he goes to Orlin, they bath him. So, like, you know, it's not okay. Also, Jack needs baths for his arthritis. So we're coming into the winter months, and he really suffers really badly, and he could be in terrible pain, and so he needs to have a bath where he can be immersed in water for 20 minutes to get some pain relief. So it's not just a bath or washing him, it's also for therapeutic needs, and it's also going to be like a sensory area for him, because I'm getting hydrotherapy and lights on his high-low bath. And they're not extortionate extras or anything like that, but they're necessary and they are essential for my son, just as the sink is, because when the OT came from Kildare County Council, he said to me that if I wanted Jack to wash his hands or to soak his hands for his arthritis, that I could fill a basin and bring it across and put it on a trolley. Now, there's absolutely no health and safety there for either Jack or myself. Why would I be putting a bathroom in if I couldn't let him use the sink? Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
And doesn't make any sense, Angela. I mean, and from this point of view, Angela, we're going to have you back tomorrow to talk about your various motions. Yeah. But in the meantime, is there any chance that a further, from someone like yourself that would have direct access to the council, can ask again about this particular case?
Yeah,
because it is
an extreme
case. Anyone listening to Aisling can be in no doubt at all that this woman is desperate.